Our Old Testament scripture from Micah gives us two basic rhetorical questions. That is to say, the answer to the questions are so obvious, God means for the question to remind us and remind his people of the truth of the good things he has done for us and the good things he wants to do through us. He starts a controversial conversation, an argument with these questions. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? He asks. And what have I wearied you? Answer me, he says. God's question is dripping with sarcasm. What have I done to deserve your scorn, child of God? How have I beaten you down? What evil have I done to you? He asks. We might ask ourselves a similar question. Do we have cause to be disappointed with God? What has God done to make us disillusioned with our lives? How is it that can become jaded and cynical in our faith, life, and journey? God answers this question. He lists all the good things he has done for us and his people, Israel. You'll remember that they were being held hostage in Egypt. He delivered them from foreign captivity. They were slaves and he bought them their freedom. This is the defining moment for the Israelites in history, the Exodus. He rescues them from evil. He rescues them from injustice. He delivers them from the misuse of power under Pharaoh. He takes them out of slavery. He takes them through the wilderness and he brings them safely into the promised land. They were refugees once. So they should have refugees, have hearts for the refugees of the world. The defining moment for believers today is the good news of Jesus. He died and rose again for us. He has rescued us and rescues us from evil, death, and sin. He delivers us from captivity to the power of sin, which threatens to destroy us from within and from the outside of us. And so we too should have a heart for those still held captive by sin, evil, and death. What has God done to deserve our neglect, our disappointment, or our scorn? Nothing. Quite the opposite, the prophet says. He has done far more than we could have asked or even dreamed of. The following question is from the believer. With what shall I come before the Lord? What kind of sacrifices does he want from me? And how much is enough? It's an exaggerated question. Does God want thousands of animals in response to his love? Does he want thousands of rivers of oil? Does he want human sacrifice? And again, the answer is, of course not. Does God want all our money? Does he want all of our earnings to be poured into the offering plates? Does he want us to pay him back by showing up to church day and night? How can I possibly pay back God for all of the good he has done for me? And the answer is, we can't. We do not purchase God's goodness. We do not earn his love. God does not want our livestock. He does not need our oil reserves. He does not want us to purchase his love by the lives of our children. He does not need our money. It's his already. He does not want to win an argument with us. He wants to win our hearts, our minds, and our lives. God's plan is to do the right thing for us so that we in turn do the right thing for those around us. He satisfies our hunger and thirst for justice in our personal lives so that we will develop an appetite and hunger and thirst for justice in the world. This is God's original promise to the people of Israel, as you'll recall. From Genesis chapter 12, I will bless you as my people. I will make you great in the earth, so that through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Or as scripture says, we love because God first loved us. It is God's design to do right by us so that we will do right by our neighbor. This is how we show our gratitude for God in the gift of his Son. He's the one who died, who lived, and rose again for our salvation. This is how we live out our calling as believers, to show the same kind of compassion to others that God has shown to us. He has told you, O mortal, the prophet says, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. God wants a genuine change of heart. He wants us to have an authentic desire for those around us, that they would experience God's goodness too. The struggles of our neighbor should bother us. The suffering of refugees should disturb us. The captivity of slaves should grieve our hearts. The premature death of the innocent should outrage us. Social justice should matter to Christ's church on earth. Blessed, Jesus says, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The same word for justice. What happens both across town and on the other side of the globe ought to matter to the believer. When it stirs up our hearts, when it impacts us, when those injustices and wrongs provoke our minds, our prayers, and our actions, we're developing an appetite for justice. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are hungering and thirsting for good in the world. Isn't that the great commandment, to love God with our whole being and our neighbor as ourselves? God puts a yearning in our hearts for a better world. The Holy Spirit gives us a sweet tooth to have a land and an earth flowing with milk and honey. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because we know that God wants his good and gracious will to be accomplished. And so Jesus tastes the bitterness of death on the cross to give us a craving for the forgiveness that he gives. He steps out of the mouth of the empty grave to make us famished for eternal life, not just for ourselves, but for all of those around us. Pastor Dan Gilbert, the president of Northern Illinois District, often reminds pastors each time we meet that the mission of Christ's church on earth is to do as Jesus did and does. Jesus went around doing good and proclaiming the good news. Two things, doing good and proclaiming the good news. That is our mission. It's on the back of your bulletins. We proclaim Christ, nurture faith, and serve others. We preach the good news and do good. As you, Lord, have lived for others, so may we for others live. Freely have your gifts been granted. Freely may your servants give. Yours the gold and yours the silver. Yours the wealth of land and sea. But we, stewards of your bounty, held in solemn trust, will be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.